You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Gabriel Waterhouse is the founder and chef behind The Waterhouse Project. After years of cooking in London's Michelin star restaurants, Waterhouse yearned for a less structured environment where he could experiment freely and where his diners could eat haute cuisine without formality, what he calls social fine dining. But for Waterhouse, it couldn't simply be a restaurant, and he had to do it with virtually no capital. Sounds easy, right? The result is the Waterhouse Project, an 8-course dinner served 3 times a week in a warehouse space along London's Regent's Canal. Monocle's Melkon Charchaglian went along for dinner recently to hear the story of the Waterhouse Project.
I think the idea of the supper club was to start experimenting and to figure out my own type of food. Mm-hmm. I think because before when you're a chef, it's very hierarchical in a kitchen, and you know, you have the top guy who's telling everyone what to do, and there's no room for trying out your own stuff. Mm-hmm. So you learn a lot about cooking, but you don't really learn what your style of cooking you want to be. So that was a big part of it. To be honest, another massive part of it really was just that I couldn't sustain working like that in that environment. Mm-hmm. Although it's an incredible place to learn, you know, you're doing like 75 hours a week.
Yeah.
And you're on your feet all the time, sometimes even more hours than that. And it was kind of like, if I work for myself, rather than putting all this huge amount of effort in for someone else, I'm hopefully going to be all right. I'm going to do all right.
What restaurants were you working at?
I worked for 2 guys called the Galvin Brothers, and they're quite famous restaurateurs in
There
London.
Was one around the corner here as well.
Yeah, the Bistro de l'Excellence. So that was their first restaurant, mm-hmm. which was beautiful. And I worked there for a little bit as well, actually. But I did work in their flagship one called Galvin La Chapelle. Mm-hmm. with Jeff Galvin, who is a really great chef, and he's worked with some amazing people as well. And before then, I was working with someone called Herbert Berger, who is kind of a more old school type chef, but he's very, very well known. He's got an amazing reputation in London. You know, he's sort of my mentor, I guess, mainly. He really looked after me, and he sort of nurtured me, and he was the one who sort of set up lots of these stages to go into different restaurants, see mm-hmm. different stuff. So, yeah, he was very helpful.
So when did the supper club evolve into what is the Waterhouse Project? And when did it become like, you know, a fully fledged thing and you were selling tickets and you had a team behind you?
So I'd say it's probably had 2 incarnations at the moment. So at the point where it was in my flat in Bethnal Green. And
what year was that when you were like, right, done, I'm going to go to the supper club?
That was maybe 2016.
Okay, yeah. So quite recent.
Yeah, so for a long time I was working actually part-time at Galvin La Chapelle. So I'd do Monday to Thursday there, mm-hmm. and that was still about 50 hours. And then I would do a Friday and a Saturday evening, cooking for 28 people maybe over those 2 days in my flat, doing a monthly changing menu. And yeah, and then it was last year, that's when I kind of evolved it into getting a proper team. So there's now 6 of us who work on it. And still doing a monthly changing menu.
And what were the business challenges and practicalities of it? Because now it's, you know, it's not just a small group of people getting together. You are more or less running a restaurant in an unorthodox manner. So how did you go about, first of all, finding the space, finding the team, you know, buying the cutlery and the ceramics?
Yeah. I've done it really sort of gradually, probably. Obviously, I had a certain amount of stuff to cater for 14 people, and I've slowly just sort of upscaled it, so very organically. And that's always been my aim, to not have any investment. It's always been to keep it, grow it sustainably, basically. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who open restaurants, it's just they suddenly appear without any kind of story behind them.
Okay.
Or, you know, there's a lot of investment that goes into it, and it might sustain them for a little bit, but if they're not really producing anything worthwhile, then after that first year, I think they struggle. And I think that's, you can see that a lot of the case with a lot of restaurants. They open and close very quickly. So I was obviously really keen not to do that. And also, I think because of what I've seen in these places where I've worked, where the staff have to work incredibly hard, I didn't really want to recreate that model where it's always catered towards the customer. I mean, everyone's very passionate about what they do, but yeah, there's like a kind of disconnect between the front side of things and what is going on behind the scenes.
Well, this is our amuse-bouche, one of them.
How did the word spread regarding, you know, because I imagine at a certain point, people who have come to the sub club really enjoyed it, told others, and then suddenly you realised you've got a far greater endeavour on your hands. Was that the case?
Sort of. I mean, most of it has been word of mouth, which is brilliant, and that's why I've been able to scale it up to this place. So our place is right by the Regent's Canal near Broadway Market. So I run past that sort of three times a week, and I'd known that they have a stunning space, but it's quite a little bit, you know, it's down a road that no one really goes down. So,
and did you know the people before? You just saw this sort of tile studio and really appreciated it?
I just saw it. I knew they sold beautiful kitchens, and I just cycled around there one day and said, would you be up for like collaborating with supper clubs? I mean, I'm trying to get away from that tag of supper clubs. It encompasses so many standards of what people are doing, like an amateur, like, you know, just someone who's very keen, a keen cook can put on a supper club, and you can put our 8-course fine dining wine pairing experience in that bracket. It doesn't seem very
good. No, that's true.
Yeah.
What's the name of the tile studio again?
So they're called Bert and May.
So were Bert and May really keen? And is there a business collaboration going on? Or do they literally give you the space in return for what is effectively promotion on the night?
Yeah, we still have an agreement, but I think it benefits both of us, to be honest. I think our brands are really, they do create stunning interiors, and it's led by fantastic materials. You know, the materials that they use are really, really beautiful and to an exceptionally high standard, which I think is sort of in keeping with what the Waterhouse project is. It's about using beautiful materials and ingredients and crockery, cutlery. This all sort of fits the right bill, really.
And did they have, when I visited, I saw there was a pretty impressive kitchen already there. Did you have to bring that in?
Or no,
was that
no, there? No, no.
God, how fortunate.
No, they're like 50 grand, so I'm glad I didn't have to bring that in. They actually changed their kitchens, I think, like maybe once every 2 years. So they were quite fresh in when we moved in, because they have three kitchens in there. But there's obviously that one main one in the centre.
Are they display kitchens for people?
Fully functional, I suppose. Yeah.
Did you know that when you went in to inquire about borrowing the space?
Well, that was always the intention.
Right,
like,
okay.
Here you've got these amazing kitchens, and you've got the space that's empty at night. So it was a perfect kind of match.
Throw served on a seaweed cracker with a little bit of herb dust. Lovely.
And tell me about the food. So you were doing this fancy French food at Galvin La Chapelle, and what have you moved towards and what have you been experimenting with? And what sort of food can people expect at the Waterhouse Project?
I try and combine maybe 3 or 4 ingredients that really work together. I was talking to someone about this the other night, and you can almost have 2 types of restaurants now, where you're either creating food that is really tasty and it's always about, you know, focused on the flavour combinations and it all works, and you taste something, it's like, wow, yeah, that really works, that's really amazing. Or a restaurant will almost be asking your palate loads of questions all the time. You know, somewhere like Noma in Copenhagen, where you'll try something and you're not necessarily sure if you like it or not. And I think I'm much more towards the side of, wow, that's beautiful. But it did make me actually think, I think if you can combine those two, saying, okay, I'm not sure, but then you go back to sort of like a comforting flavour or something that you recognise, and then in the next course you can have something that's a little bit different.
And you're doing this full time now, even though you only do it, you know, 3 times a week. I assume the rest of the time you're thinking about the menu and you're talking to the suppliers.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And how long was it before you went from doing this as a sort of side thing to, right, this is my life and this is my business?
It was probably a couple of years ago. I'd been at a stage where I'd been cooking from my flat for a while. It's really interesting how I almost feel like I go through like a year and a half cycles of doing something, and then it sort of feels like it's time to move on. So yeah, it definitely feels like this is a thing, But like I say, the reason I put the word project in the name is because I do feel like it's a project. I don't think it's the finished article. And I think it always will evolve and develop into other things. So I'm keen to do that. So I suppose I'm never going to say I definitely want my own space where I can work full time.
Okay. But doing the same sort of thing?
Definitely, definitely. I like, because it grew out of a sense that I wanted to create a restaurant and make a restaurant differently to the ones that, a lot of the ones that I'd been working in. But now I feel like it's kind of developed into its own kind of niche way of dining. And I'm actually keen to explore that and make that a stamp of this is actually a new way that people can eat. And it's more interesting, it's more entertaining, and it's definitely not like the stale standard model that people expect when they go to eat in places.
Gabriel Waterhouse there, chef and founder of The Waterhouse Project. You can find out more at thewaterhouseproject.com. Thank you to Monocle writer Melkon Charchaglian for the interview and to sound engineer Bill Ludi. Also thanks to Alex Portfelix, our studio manager, who mixed and edited this program. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.